everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. A very full agenda, a very full show today. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing on this Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, 1 week away from St. Valentine's Day. Our show in its 13th year in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, KVOI. Our website, buckmastershow.com, the place for all of our live listening and all of our podcasts. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews, of which we'll do a couple today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Terry Bracey is our expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs. Terry has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interests, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry then went on to be appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently serving under four presidents of both parties. He's founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Hey, Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing just fine. Life has been good. I had kind of a rough winter. I managed to break my back.
Oh, my goodness.
In a fall, but I've had almost a miracle recovery. So I'm back on the golf course.
If you go, whoa.
October 1, I broke my back. Yeah, no, just fabulous. I'm just very thankful. I don't know. I had to go to church every day.
Well,
but otherwise things are going fine. Just fine.
Breaking my heart seeing these images out of the border of Iraq and Syria and Turkey, that 7.8 earthquake, so devastating.
Oh my Lord. Just the thought of being buried alive. It's just what a nightmare. And I light a candle for those folks and send them some money. That's my hope.
I was just going to say, on a lot more pleasant note, I see that University of Arizona basketball, the men's basketball team, now ranked number 4. And I think they've only had 3 losses so far this year. Pretty good team.
Really a great team and a great coach. And I mean, I don't know where we started, when we started recruiting in the Baltic, but we have a Scandinavian team, and boy, they're pretty good.
Yeah, it's
fun to watch. Very much fun to watch. Yeah.
International team for sure. Okay, we've got President Biden's State of the Nation address coming up in a few hours back there in D.C. What do you expect him to highlight tonight, Terry?
Well, Bill, there's a lot of news out about that. But what I suspect, number one, is he's going to try to get the message out on what he's done economically for the country. It's been badly explained and, frankly, not well covered by the press. But what Biden has done is he's reversed a 40-year course towards Republican economics, which was all trickle down, and he's gone back to the FDR theory of getting the money to the people so they can spend it. And it's been very successful. Now, I know people don't necessarily feel that yet, or maybe, I don't know whether, Bill, you know more about messaging than I do, but it seems to me a lot of what people believe is what they hear, not what they're really sensing. But right now we've got historic unemployment, and Lord, the inflation rate scares everybody, but it's going down. It's in the right direction. This is a president who had to deal with this pandemic, and we've never dealt with anything like that before. And I think we've gotten through it pretty well. But some dangers lie ahead, and I think he's going to talk a lot about economics, a little classroom, and then he's going to go after the super rich and say that they're not paying their fair share. And he's going to put a tax on him if he can. So I think those are some of the things he's going to talk about.
Well, you talked about messaging. The president does have a problem right now, Terry, in the opinion polls. And there's a lot of Democrats, as you know, that are hoping that President Biden just is a one-term president. Some of your thoughts about that, please.
Well, number one, I'm thinking, you know, now that I see they've changed all the primary schedule and they're starting, instead of Iowa, they're going to South Carolina and Michigan and other Democratic states. That kind of suggests to me that President Biden is going to run again. But I know a lot of people feel, as I do, that people my age are not ideal candidates for the presidency. And it was just hard. You know, I could barely get around a golf course. So, but you know, this guy has done a historically important job, Bill. And, I mean, think of what he's accomplished in 2 years. I mean, you have the enormous restructuring of the computer chip business in the United States. You've got the payments that he made through to all the people to get them through the pandemic. You've got so many things, this huge infrastructure, historic infrastructure law that's going to basically repay Tucson and many other cities. And so he's gotten so much done, it's hard to say that he's not competent, huh?
Yeah, we had Congressman Grijalva on the show, and he's really worried about this debt ceiling hanging over the financial markets and the uncertainty in Congress. Do you share Congressman Grijalva's concern, Terry Bracey?
Well, I have great respect for Congressman Grijalva, and I do worry because I don't get a feel for these new radicals, but I think, Bill, that at the end of the day, this is economic terrorism. Nobody is helped. No single American is helped if you fail to pay our debts. And that's essentially what they're doing. The great advantage we have, and Shelley can tell you more about this, in the world markets, is we are the world's currency. The U.S. dollar is the world's safe currency. And it's always been based on that, going back to Alexander Hamilton, who said, always pay your debts. And we have. Now you've got 20 or so radicals in the Republican House who are trying to upset the apple cart. And you've got a very weak leader there who's let it get too far down the road. But in the end of the day, I have to believe we'll get this done.
How do you think McCarthy is doing, Speaker McCarthy?
It's too early to tell, really. I think this, how he handles this situation on the debt will tell you, but here you got a guy, he's got 222 votes versus 212, and he's got 20 radicals among his 220. He's got a margin of 3 or 4 votes, and so any one of these or any 2 or 3 of these radicals can do to him what Senator Sinema and Manchin did in the Senate, just hold things up, say, I don't think so, we're not doing it. But the difference is I feel that McCarthy has a chance to be a great speaker if in the end he goes across the aisle and says, I need some Democratic votes to do this.
Speaking of working across the aisle, one of the things that Congressman Grijalva said on our show Friday, he was at the recent memorial for the late Congressman Jim Colby, was so great to see people of both parties at honoring Congressman Colby and how he was so able to work across the aisle.
Yeah, he's a great guy and a very, very courageous man, very courageous. And I'm sorry I couldn't get out there for a lot of reasons, but Jim Colby, I think of him. We've had great members of Congress from Arizona, you know, back to Carl Hayden and Barry Goldwater, Stewart, Morris Udall. I mean, these John Rhodes, these were really important people nationally from a very small state. And I put Jim Colby up in that rank. I do.
All right, Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Good catching up with you. Sounds like you are having miraculous recovery from breaking your back. And so that alone is a great way to start 2023, Terry. Thank you for joining us. All right. We'll pause right here, talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Check it out. They're open 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. Sunday, they open at 7, and they are closed Monday. My suggestion, at least on Sunday, get there early, because a lot of people want to either sample or come back, and they've had some Mona's goods, and they want more. And I am into the cinnamon rolls right now. I could, 2 weeks in a row now, having a Sunday cinnamon roll, and I probably will go for week 3. This Sunday. All right, Shelley Fishman with me in studio. 2 thumbs up. We continue Buckmaster on a Tuesday. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley. How are you?
I'm very well today, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. It was great to hear Terry Bracey back on the show.
He gave my report.
Yes, he mentioned you and his remarks and about how the U.S. dollar, it really is the de facto currency of the world, isn't it?
Well, the good news, it's the de facto currency in the world. The bad news, comes with responsibilities.
Yeah.
And so we saw a balance of payments report, I think it was this morning, it might have been yesterday, that shows we're exporting much less and importing much more. The reason being that we've made the dollar so expensive by raising interest rates that, you know, other people can't buy our stuff. That may or may not be a good thing. When the dollar sneezes, everybody gets a cold.
There you go. All right. Fed Chair Powell spoke today. Oh, we were all holding our breath. He spoke to...
Didn't say anything to scare people.
No, lunchtime address to, I don't know what particular group, but he had some prepared remarks, and there was some pretty good news, actually.
Well, the good news came Friday, you know, with a phenomenal, and that's the only way to put it, phenomenal employment report.
Lowest that showed in 50
lowest
years.
Lowest unemployment, 3.4%.
Yep.
And over 4.6 million new jobs created in 2022, the most since 1939.
Whoa.
So, you know, in 1939, we were beginning to gear up, of course, for conflict, a worldwide conflict. The idea that we might sink into a recession now, this year or anytime soon, you know, seems further and further removed. And what we're hearing from all but the most pessimistic economists who prognosticate on where the economy is going is, you know, we might just have this soft landing.
Hey, Shel, we had a listener who wanted to share his views. Why don't I just quickly read his email?
That came in last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard Shelley on your show today, and all he does is infuriate me. He obviously thinks that high-earning taxpayers do not pay their fair share, whatever that is. I'd like him to explain how 0% is a fair share. About 50% of the people pay zero in income tax, and I think everybody should have some skin in the game. Another thing, his stand on inheritance is also infuriating. If I save my money, which has already been taxed, he'd like to limit the amount I can leave to my heirs, or he wants to tax those same dollars again. Absolutely intolerable.
Well, for our listener, first of all, thank you for listening. It's nice to know when you're in a studio and you're talking to a microphone that there are people listening out there. So let me talk about one thing, because in these two paragraphs that you just read, he uses the word infuriate, infuriates me, or is infuriating twice. So when somebody tells you how he feels, believe it. Mm-hmm. I believe that the things that I have been saying recently about taxation really do infuriate him, and that's a problem. It's a problem because we can't have a policy discussion when one person is seething with anger.
Mm.
We can disagree on what the right policy ought to be, but it's very, very difficult to work and have a discussion. So I hope this person calms down a little bit, and, you know, he's listening, so he's giving me the benefit of that doubt. But anger is not the way to approach this. He makes two points, or two general points. One is, what's the fair share of income taxes? And he's absolutely right. About 50% of the population does not pay federal income tax. And there's lots of reasons for that. One is designed into our system of progressive taxes, which means that if you can't afford to pay taxes, your tax rate is so low that you're not going to pay federal income taxes. In fact, with the earned income tax credit, you just don't have to pay any income taxes. And a lot of rich people also don't pay income taxes. But the question then becomes, what is your fair share?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have to have some skin in the game? And if this listener has been listening, he knows that I'm a big proponent of skin in the game. Skin in the game is paying real estate taxes. It's paying taxes on your rent because your landlord is paying real estate taxes. It's paying excise taxes. It's paying sales taxes. So people do have skin in the game, even if it's not a federal income tax. But more than that, Bill, I believe everybody should have a responsibility to serve this country. And that service, you know, this is probably out of the mainstream. I believe it ought to be mandatory. Mm-hmm. You know, you get out of high school, you should have to serve your country, not necessarily militarily, but some way.
Service Corps. You've talked about that for years. You're a huge proponent of
that. That is skin in the game, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And that's a way also to earn, by investing skin in the game, to earn some benefits that maybe everybody doesn't have today. And we talk about tuition benefits and cheaper mortgage rates and that kind of thing. Well, the second point that he makes,
the inheritance
is
bit.
Inheritance, and that's harder to deal with because that is, first of all, it's been a moving target for the past 30 or 40 years. Right now, if you are an individual, when you die, you will not have to pay inheritance taxes, or your beneficiaries won't have to be subjected to inheritance taxes on any amount that you leave under about $11.7 million.
Okay.
And if you're a couple, it's double that. It's $22, $23 million. Mm. So that inheritance taxes in this country right now are paid by less than one half of 1% of all the people who die. In that case, it's not really an issue. The other thing is if I leave a portfolio to somebody, and let's assume it's less than $22 million, it will be less than $22 million. if I leave that to a beneficiary, mm-hmm. the cost basis of that gift that I give, or that inheritance that I give, is raised to the cost of that asset on the day I die. So let's say I bought, for argument's sake, 100 million shares of AT&T in 1995 at $22, and let's say today it's at $50. My beneficiary gets that with a cost basis of the cost basis on the day I die. All of that capital gains is forfeited by the government, so that it's not that you're having to pay taxes or not having to pay taxes on the money you've already earned. You're not even going to have to pay taxes on the money that you gained because you never cashed it in.
Hmm.
And your beneficiary doesn't have to pay that tax. In fact, that the value of that asset is valued on the day that the person gets it.
Hmm.
Now, that is not fair as far as I'm concerned. The government, which can't afford to pay its debts right now. I mean, what we're doing here, Terry was talking about this. We set tax policy and then we decide what we're going to spend. Instead of deciding what we're going to spend and setting tax policy to cover the costs. So we've got this lopsided way of looking at it. But one of the things that is infuriating, unfortunately, this listener, is that there is no taxation on inheritance, essentially. But he says there isn't. He's just plain wrong about that. Now, there are some state inheritance taxes. They're very, very little. They used to be higher when the second Bush in 2002, 2003, he raised the floor mm-hmm. for taxes mm-hmm. from about $670,000 per individual to about $3 million.
Right.
Okay, and then during the Trump tax decrease, which wasn't paid for either, mm-hmm. It went up to 11.7 per individual. So we've got this all screwed up, but the thing that's infuriating, and I'm sorry to harp on the word, mm-hmm. this listener, in the case of inheritance taxes, is no longer an issue. Now, he may be infuriated because I said it's unfair.
Okay.
But as a reality, given today's rules and we're happy to have a discussion about those rules. Very, very few people in this country will pay inheritance tax on just about anything.
Well, we do thank the listener first for listening, and then we thank the listener for bringing up a couple of important topics.
And he's really piqued my interest in hoping that this is an interesting subject for our listeners.
Yep.
Because what I'm putting together now for some days when you're on vacation is a seminar, if you will, a roundtable discussion with some University of Arizona professors.
I think that's going to be a two-part series.
Yeah. We're hoping that we can make it for two full hours. To talk about tax policy and how it relates to the economics of this country.
Very good. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Shell, and I hope you have a good rest of the week.
You too, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here. We'll take the mid-show break. CBS Network News coming up, and then we'll have our Reed Park Zoo update. They are thinking big over at the zoo. Deborah Carr is waiting in the wings. We'll have the latest right after this.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our following segment presented by our friends at the Reed Park Zoo, founded in 1965 by the then City of Tucson Parks Director, Gene Reed, as an exhibit of exotic birds. Reed Park Zoo now has become one of America's top zoos, well over now 300 animals from all over the world and welcoming some 500,000 visitors annually. With us on the live line, Deborah Carr, Marketing and Events Director at the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? It's always so great to talk with you.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. And there's something big buzzing around the zoo this spring. What the heck is going on? You guys are thinking big and showing big.
Absolutely. Well, we have our big, big bugs exhibit going on through April 30th, and bugs are getting their day at the zoo. We are shining the spotlight on these usually tiny but mighty animals that are so essential to our world. We have about 30 larger-than-life, supersized, enormous insects. If you can imagine bugs that are hundreds or thousands of times their regular size, we have... they're stationed around the zoo, so you just about every corner that you turn, you'll see one. And each is very realistic. It has sounds and movement, so you can really get an appreciation for how unique and important they are. And it's very much like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids experience, where the kids are going to be little and the bugs are big.
Hey, Deborah, why the focus on bugs, and what can we all learn from the little ones?
Absolutely. Well, you know, our mission here at Reed Park Zoo is to create inspiring memories and to connect people and animals to ensure the protection of wild animals and wild places. And bugs, you know, we often kind of think there's something to ignore, to get rid of, to fear sometimes because they're so small. But they actually play a big and essential role in all of our terrestrial ecosystems. In fact, you might say that they are the glue that holds our ecosystems together. They pollinate crops and make possible many of the foods we enjoy. For instance, chocolate. There'd be no chocolate without bugs. Can you imagine?
That would be a difficult one, especially at Valentine's Day, Deborah.
Exactly, exactly. They're the world's sanitation engineers. They eat and recycle dead and decaying items and replenish the soil. They serve as an important food source, not only for animals and birds, but even humans. And they keep other insects under control. And so being able to view them up close and at such a large size, we can really help tell that story and hopefully inspire people that, you know, the next time you see a spider in your house, maybe you, instead of stepping on it, you might go get a cup and move it outside.
There you go. Several conservation efforts I know are surrounding the insects right now. How are those going?
We have a number of conservation projects that we participate in, you know, both locally and around the globe here at the zoo. And a couple of those that relate directly to the bugs are monarch butterflies. These butterflies were classified as endangered in 2022. And the zoo has a pollinator garden that you may have seen as you visited that provides habitat for butterflies and an excellent food source for them. This year we are already seeing several caterpillars, which is very exciting. And then also bees. You know, bees are one of the world's most important pollinators. And monoagriculture and expanding human population are making it harder for bees to have the food that they rely on. So we partner with a local service to help safely relocate bees. We have about 12 bee boxes that are largely located behind the scenes, and it matches the bees' hive requirements, so then we can help bring the service in and relocate them to a farm where they can do their jobs.
These monarch butterflies are truly amazing. I was just reading over the weekend that many of them migrate from the Pacific Northwest, Deborah, all the way to the Monterey Bay area in California. And believe it or not, many times they will go back to the same tree. How in the world is that possible?
I know. It's amazing just their skills in relocation, you know. And you can see in our Big Bug exhibit, we do have a couple of monarch butterflies. So you get a look at them as they might appear, you know, several hundreds of times their size.
So what's the latest on the update on the new permanent additions? We've been hearing that they're coming to the zoo. What's going on lately?
Well, we are well into our construction for World of Play, which is our new nature play area that will be opening late summer or early fall. You can really, the steel is starting to go up, and you can start to see really what this is, whole area is going to look like. Kids, when we have it completed, they'll be able to whoosh down an Antarctic tunnel and climb up in a sequoia tree, and you can really get a sense now of just how tall that tree is going to be. They can explore the rainforest floor, and we know that kids learn through nature, through play, and this nature play area is really going to allow them to meet nature hands-on and minds-on, and that's really exciting. We also have begun construction on a new two-toed sloth habitat. This is a new addition that will be coming to our South American loop at the zoo. We expect construction to take about 5 months, so again, in July or August of this year, you'll be able to come out and meet this charming new addition. You know, of course, sloths being native to the rainforests in South America and among the slowest mammals in the world, with the sweet faces, and we look forward to being able to tell their story as well.
They are slow but very cute, those sloths.
Very cute, very cute.
Also cute, Andean bears.
Yes, we have two Andean bears here at the zoo. Two of my favorite animals here, Oha and Joaquin. And so we have a new way to watch the Indian bears, which is through our webcam. You can log on to our website and go directly to the webcam so you can eat lunch, kind of keep up with what the bears are doing and what they're doing in their habitat. And we hope as the weather kind of warms up, you'll be able to see them in the water swimming or climbing new trees and being bears.
Deborah Carr with us from the Reed Park Zoo. Deborah, are the hours going to be changing now with spring break coming up?
Yes. So currently right now we are in our winter spring hours, which are 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. But for spring break on March 17th through March 23rd, we will be open extended hours of 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And you've got quite a few activities coming up here in the spring that we want to tell our listeners about.
We do. Not only are we buzzing with bugs, but we are buzzing with activities here. We do have our senior day coming up on March 1st. So our guests that are 62 and better can come and enjoy $5 admission to the zoo, and we have special activities throughout the morning, including a lot of different animal chats and keeper chats, so you can come and learn about some animals. And we also then will be having our Wine Gone Wild, which will be coming up on April 1st. This will be from 6 to 8:30, and we have local and regional and even national wineries that will come out and provide sampling of their wines. We have everything from reds to rosés to whites and in between. So some of our wineries already that are signed on are Sonoran Wines, Lightning Ridge, Birds and Barrels, Strive Vineyards, and Desert Daiquiris, and Rancho Rosa Vineyards. So we're adding new ones all the time. So check back on our website.
My wife and I are members of the zoo, and we encourage everyone else to join. Are there kind of membership levels, Deborah Carr, for all level or for everybody?
Yes, and they start at our senior level at just $25 a year. And you can find all the different levels on our website at reedparkzoo.org. It's a great way. You get free admission to the zoo, and also the bugs exhibit is free with your zoo admission.
Yeah, I have your website right now up in front of me, reedparkzoo.org. I love the live cam shots. It's a great website. You guys are doing a great job there. Looks great.
Wonderful. And, you know, spring is just such a great time to come and visit. The weather is just glorious right now, and it's a great way to get outdoors and spend some quality time at the zoo with those you love, and hopefully come and see what we're about here and fall in love with some of the animals we have here and get involved with ways you can help protect them.
All right, Deborah Carr, love having you on the program. Thank you so much for everything you do at the zoo.
Thank you, Bill. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. Deborah Carr, Marketing and Events Director at Tucson's Reed Park Zoo. We'll take a break right here. Upcoming, Margaret Regan putting together her spring arts report right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We are so happy that Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, the folks over there have been a great sponsor. It's only about a three-hour drive. The tourism over there, they're always so friendly. Welcoming arms for everybody from Southern Arizona. Please visit southwestnewmexico.org. I think you'll be very surprised about the amount of activities, many outdoor activities, great places to stay and eat. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Before you head out for that three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. All right, let's welcome now our arts contributor, longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer. In fact, she started writing about the arts for the Tucson Weekly back in 1990. Margaret Regan, the author of two prize-winning books on immigration. And as a journalist in Tucson, she's been writing about the border since really the year 2000. Margaret, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying this sunshine today.
Very nice day. It was a great weekend as well. I know you're very busy putting together for the Tucson Weekly all the activities, kind of the spring arts calendar. Why don't we begin with one? Now, you talked a little bit about this the last time you were with us, the Center for Creative Photography at the University of Arizona. at long last mounting a show honoring the photography of Linda McCartney.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great show. I've been seeing there's some magazines in town. They're in there, and I've seen them on Facebook. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's coming up on February 25th. And I think it's, you know, it's the major exhibition of the spring. I did talk to you about it. I was so excited a couple months ago that I was talking about you then, talking about you, her to you at that time. But I think people should know, you know, she was, Linda McCartney was known as a young woman. She was taking wonderful pictures of rock and roll
musicians, sure.
You know, Mick Jagger, Eric Clapton, Janis Joplin.
Yep.
Yeah, all kinds of people. And then, of course, she eventually married Paul McCartney, and she changed her art at that time. They moved to Scotland and in a beautiful countryside, and she started doing a lot of art about what she could see, the beautiful place. And also, they had four children, and she did these wonderful pictures of the family. So finally, you know, it's getting attention here. I didn't know before all this that she was such a good photographer. So I think it's really exciting for people to come, and they're going to be doing a lot of events, you know, people coming in to talk about her, and there's going to be some music times in certain times. So it's going to be really a great show, and it's up until August 5th, so people can really get to see Linda McCartney.
This is the first retrospective of her work in North America, and there's going to be about 176 photos. Again, February 25th through August 5th at the Center for Creative Photography on the U of A campus. What's going on with the Etherton Gallery?
Oh, the Etherton Gallery, you know, they're great as always. You know, you just can't ever miss when you go into the Etherton Gallery. This is a really nice show because it's about two artists from Tucson, which, you know, we don't always get that sometimes, and sometimes no. But right now, this show is called Chris Rush and Ellen McMahon, Again with the Real. I'm not sure exactly what that stands for, but Chris Rush used to be known in town. I don't know if you remember, there was this great big mural of a baby, a giant baby downtown, and everybody kind of knew that place because of it. Did you remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
Well, you should have, Bill. he was getting known at that time, and then he became very famous and very successful. And the things that he's showing for this one are paintings and drawings. And I spied another baby in one of his paintings, and this one was also flying happily over a lake. So, and he did a self-portrait of himself as a toddler. So those are all interesting things. That'll be a good show for sure. He wrote a book about his life a couple of years ago, and it was a big hit all around the country. So he has a really interesting story to tell.
That one that shows up February 7th, so opens today, really, through April 15th.
Yeah, and I think it's maybe this weekend they're having the party. Mm. You know, Etherton is great for having parties.
Oh, yeah. For launching of shows, they always have some kind of event. The Luis Carlos Bernal Gallery is going to be bursting at the seams with no fewer than 19 painted panels of the Grand Canyon. For those that don't know, where is the Bernal Gallery, Margaret Regan?
It's in Pima College West from downtown. But they have this really great gallery, Bernard Gallery, and this is really exciting for me. I remember these paintings. They were up only one time in the 90s and in the Tucson Museum of Art. This was a picture of, somebody made 24 panels about the Grand Canyon, and each hour of the day represented, you know, another day in the Grand Canyon. This was here. It was around in our city a couple, you know, many years ago now. But the Tucson Museum of Art is letting the Bernal Gallery to use it. So that's going to be a really good show for the university and for the rest of us.
And that show will be up through March the 10th. Let's see if we can work in a couple more here. The Tohono O'Toole Gallery, what do they have going on?
Yeah, they have two of the best artists in Tucson. This is a great time for local people. We have Kate Brakey and Barbara Rogers, and they are both highly regarded artists, and they're in both Arizona and the whole world, really. They both have international. Kate Brakey is from Australia, but she's lived here for a long time, and she's a photographer, but she loves doing hand coloring on the photography. The thing of hers that I really liked the best, it was an early show called Small Deaths, and it was a photo of dead birds, which sounds terrible, but she made them have beautiful remains and feathered colors. And she uses it to mean many things, you know, these small deaths. Everybody's death is important. And the other woman, Barbara Rogers, she's very well known in Tucson. She was a professor at the university for many years, and now she's just painting. She does these wonderful, beautiful color, big size paintings, and she sells them all over the country.
Yeah, she's very well known here in Tucson. Barbara's been around a long time, and her work is really stunning, very kind of brilliantly colored, large-sized paintings. Let's see, Margaret, we can close with the University of Arizona Museum of Art, a show that's really attracted national attention that will be up through May the 20th.
Yeah, it's all about the woman ochre standing in splendor right here in Tucson once again. If you have not visited her by now, you know, get the to her heavily guarded perch, because it's a really fun thing to see. This was the work by de Kooning that was stolen years and years ago, and then we got it back, and now it's all fixed up, and, you know, it's on display in the university. So, and also around that, there's a whole show of abstract paintings by other artists from that same period, you know, around the 50s up to the 60s and so. So it's a really good show and a great one to get there, even though it's been up for quite a while, but it's still going to be up to, let's see, May 20th, so you can still see.
Yeah, there's a Jackson Pollock and some others that are going to be in that accompanying show. So that accompanying show is up through March 25th. The de Kooning, of course, was done in 1955, stolen, recovered in Silver City. And now it is back at the University of Arizona. So there you go. All right, yeah. Margaret, we're going to have to run. So that's coming up in your arts previews coming up in the weekly, right?
Yeah, it'll be a big thing. There's a lot of things to write about.
Okay. Thank you. Great catching up with you. Thanks, Margaret.
Bye.
All right. Margaret Regan with us on the live line. Now we're going to say goodbye. We've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about money is coming up. On behalf of John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for listening today, and we'll be back with you at 12:04 for our midweek Wednesday edition tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.